Hey everyone, welcome back. It feels like the rules of the game have changed, right? Like, how do we even measure success these days? In this deep dive, we're going to explore how to really make yourself more valuable and how to thrive in this crazy, always online world.
Yeah, it's really about amplifying your inherent value, wouldn't you say? Both for your career and just, for your life in general.
Exactly. And to do that, we're going to focus on two key concepts. Human capital and social capital.
Which, by the way, are super central to the bird in the hand principle we keep coming back to.
Right. Like we've talked about before, human capital is basically what you know, all your skills and knowledge and experience. Social capital, on the other hand, is all about who you know and the strength of those relationships.
And these two, they're your most powerful tools in this day and age, way more than, say, owning land or having tons of money.
I totally agree. Like back in the day, physical assets were the key to success, but now it's all about what's going on in your head and who you're connected to.
It's like the game has totally changed.
For sure. So, in this deep dive, we're going to explore how to grow both your human and social capital.
We're going to really unpack how to get the most out of your mind, through this really cool idea called a growth mindset.
And we'll also look at how to make those connections stronger using networking and active listening.
And all of this is coming from some really practical stuff we've been reading about entrepreneurial skills and mindsets.
Yeah, and it's all about making a real difference in your life, both in terms of your own capabilities and the way you connect with others.
So first things first, let's talk about your brain, right? It's like this amazing engine you carry around with you.
It is, and this stuff we've been reading, it really hammers home this idea of human capital.
Which is basically, like you said, your education, your skills, all the things you're good at, even your natural talents.
It's the economic value of everything you bring to the table just by being you.
And in today's world, it's more important than ever.
Absolutely. More than land, more than labor, even more than money in many cases.
It really makes you think, what are you feeding your mind? Like, are you giving it the right fuel?
That's such a good question. Because as a knowledge worker, what you put into your brain is what you get out of it. It directly affects your human capital.
It's input and output, plain and simple.
It's kind of crazy when you think about how little manual labor is valued these days.
Yeah, a lot of places it's minimum wage or even less. It's kind of sad, actually.
It is, but it really highlights how important it is to develop your mental capital.
So this is where it gets really interesting. It's not enough to just have general skills. You got to find your niche.
Your superpower, one of the sources called it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Because in a globalized world, someone somewhere can always do what you do for cheaper.
So true. That's why becoming indispensable is key. You need to develop those rare and valuable skills that make you stand out.
I think it's really cool to think about what you want to be awesome at like 10 years from now. Like, what's your niche going to be?
I love that. It's all about identifying your talents and then really focusing on developing them.
And it's important to understand the difference between financial capital and human capital, right?
Totally. Financial capital is all about tangible assets, things you can hold in your hand, so to speak. But human capital, that's all about the intangible stuff, like knowledge and skills.
In smart organizations, they get that. They invest heavily in human capital.
Because it makes them more productive and ultimately more successful.
Exactly. And the best part about human capital is that it's not fixed. You can grow it.
It's like a muscle. The more you work it, the stronger it gets.
Through education, new skills, constant learning.
The more human capital you have, the more you're worth, basically.
It's really a positive feedback loop. And a big part of growing your human capital is having the right mindset.
Which brings us to Dr. Carol Dweck and her work on growth mindset versus fixed mindset.
That's some powerful stuff. It really changes how you look at challenges and learning.
So a fixed mindset is the belief that intelligence is fixed, like you're born with a certain amount and that's it.
But a growth mindset, that's the belief that you can always learn and grow no matter what.
And anyone can develop a growth mindset. It's not like you're stuck with one or the other.
And the benefits are huge. People with a growth mindset, they love challenges. They see mistakes as learning opportunities.
They get excited about effort because they know it's making them smarter.
As opposed to, just being obsessed with getting praise all the time.
Like you're a slave to praise, as one of the sources put it.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. And get this, having a growth mindset actually changes your brain.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's called neuroplasticity.
Yeah.
Your brain can literally rewire itself through learning and new experiences.
That's amazing. So, just by challenging ourselves and learning from our mistakes, we can actually become more intelligent.
That's exactly what the research suggests.
So how do we know if we have a fixed mindset or a growth mindset?
There are some telltale signs. Someone with a fixed mindset, they might avoid challenges because they're afraid to fail. They might believe that intelligence is set in stone.
And they might think that if they have to work hard at something, it means they're not good at it.
But someone with a growth mindset, they see challenges as opportunities to grow. They believe that intelligence is fluid and that effort makes them smarter.
It's a totally different way of looking at things.
And there's this really cool idea that ties in here called the power of yet.
Tell me about that.
Basically, it's the idea that if you're not good at something now, it doesn't mean you never will be. You just haven't mastered it yet.
I love that. It's so simple, but it really reframes things in a positive light.
And it's a crucial entrepreneurial attitude, wouldn't you say?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because entrepreneurs, they need to be comfortable with challenges and willing to put in the effort to learn and grow.
Now let's switch gears and talk about social capital, which is all about who you know.
Your network, basically.
Yeah, and it's not just about having a ton of connections on LinkedIn or whatever. It's about the quality of those relationships.
It's about having people you can trust, people who are willing to help you out, and people who can open doors for you.
It's like that saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Except in this case, it's both. You need both human capital and social capital to really succeed.
And just like human capital, you can invest in and grow your social capital.
You can nurture those relationships, make new connections, and strengthen your network over time.
And there are some key factors that contribute to strong social capital.
Like reciprocity, for example. It's all about give and take.
Trust is huge, too. And reliability. People need to know they can count on you.
It's like building a foundation of trust. And once you have that, your network becomes incredibly valuable.
It's fascinating how this ties into social media and network externalities.
Network what?
Network externalities. It's a fancy way of saying that the more people use a network, the more valuable it becomes for everyone.
Like Facebook, for example. If only a handful of people used it, it wouldn't be nearly as useful or interesting.
Right. So the value of a network increases exponentially with the number of users.
And that's why building your social capital is so important.
And one of the best ways to build strong relationships is through active listening.
Which is way more than just hearing what someone's saying.
It's about truly engaging with them, understanding their perspective, and making them feel heard.
It's a skill that takes practice, but it's so worth it.
There's a great quote from Diogenes that goes, "We have two ears and one tongue so that we would listen more and talk less."
It's so true. We often forget to really listen to each other.
But active listening, it's not always easy. It takes effort and focus.
It does. But the benefits are huge.
When you actively listen to someone, they're more likely to listen to you in return.
It helps you understand their point of view, even if you don't agree with it.
It builds trust and strengthens relationships.
And it allows you to understand their underlying needs and motivations.
It's really the key to connecting with people on a deeper level.
So what does a good listener actually do?
Well, they encourage others to speak freely. They're genuinely curious about what the other person has to say.
They ask clarifying questions to make sure they understand.
And they accept the other person's perspective without judgment.
They also know how to disagree without being disagreeable.
They separate the idea from the person.
And they're always trying to understand, not just trying to win an argument.
It's really about building bridges, not walls.
And active listening, it's not just about what you say, it's about how you say it too.
It's a two-way process that involves both verbal and nonverbal communication.
Like that trampoline analogy we read about. You're not just letting the information bounce off of you, you're actively engaging with it.
By asking questions, rephrasing, reflecting back what you've heard.
It's all about keeping the conversation going and making sure you're both on the same page.
And there are four key aspects to active listening. First is nonverbal communication.
Which means putting your phone away and making eye contact.
Paying attention to your body language. Maybe mirroring the speaker's posture to create a sense of connection.
Taking notes can be helpful, but don't let it distract you from the conversation.
And try not to look bored or uninterested.
Even if you've heard it all before.
The second aspect is verbal communication.
This is where those open-ended questions come in, the ones that encourage the speaker to elaborate.
And don't underestimate the power of simple things, like saying, uh-huh, or go on.
It shows that you're listening and that you want to hear more.
The third aspect is responding to what's being said.
This means not interrupting, letting the speaker finish their thought.
Then you can rephrase what they said in your own words or reflect back their main points.
Or even just repeat key phrases to show that you're paying attention.
It all helps to keep the conversation flowing.
And finally, the fourth aspect is keeping the focus on the speaker.
Which means avoiding distractions. Don't get caught up in what you're going to say next.
Just be present in the moment and focus on what the other person is saying.
Don't let your mind wander. And don't try to change the subject.
So, to recap, active listening is about encouraging others, showing genuine curiosity, and leading to a deeper understanding.
It's about building relationships and paying attention to those subtle nonverbal cues.
And it's a key skill for networking, which is one of the best ways to build your social capital.
There's even an assignment coming up where you'll get to attend a networking event and put all these skills into practice.
That's awesome. So, what are some other key networking skills we should be thinking about?
Well, Diana Gunn has this great list. She talks about the importance of building genuine friendships, not just transactional relationships.
She also emphasizes active listening, like we just talked about.
And she talks about having a positive mindset, focusing on the needs of others, and projecting confidence.
She also mentions the importance of coping with feedback, being consistent in your efforts, and having good interviewing skills.
And don't forget email etiquette.
And your elevator pitch, of course.
That's crucial. You need to be able to quickly and effectively communicate who you are and what you do.
Especially at a networking event where you might only have a few minutes to make an impression.
And speaking of networking events, preparation is key.
You need to know who's going to be there, what you want to get out of it, and what questions you want to ask.
It's also helpful to think about what you can offer others.
Networking is all about give and take, remember.
And then there are the practicalities of navigating the event itself, like how do you join a conversation without being awkward?
And how do you politely excuse yourself when you're ready to move on?
The material calls these the break-in and the breakaway.
And don't forget about follow-up. That's crucial for turning those initial connections into lasting relationships.
Send a quick email. Connect on LinkedIn, whatever it takes to stay in touch.
So let's circle back to the elevator pitch for a second. What exactly should that include?
It's basically a concise summary of your strengths, maybe a little validation to back up your claims, and a clear statement of your goals.
Like, what are you hoping to achieve by sharing your pitch? Who are you hoping to connect with?
So as we wrap up this deep dive, you should have a much better understanding of human capital and social capital.
And why they're so important for success in today's world.
Remember, your human capital is your mindset and your skills.
And your social capital is your network and the strength of your relationships.
Cultivating a growth mindset is essential for growing your human capital.
And developing strong networking and active listening skills is key for building your social capital.
It's all about investing in yourself and making those connections.
So here's a final thought for you to chew on. What's one small but significant step you can take today to invest in either your human or social capital?
Could be anything from reflecting on your mindset to reaching out to someone in your network.
It's all part of the journey of growth and discovery.
And we're glad you're taking it with us.
Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.